Beep.
Okay, that is the noise that says hello. It's 11:33, so we have 15 minutes now with Jared and Joe. Welcome, Joe.
Welcome, Jared. It's It's our 15-minute radio show, and we will stick to it. So you know that you're not going to be just listening to us blather on with some kind of long, meandering podcast.
I was already over you, so... well, when we left off, we were talking about all the things that you've gone through, and you are entering the exciting realm of reconstruction.
It's very exciting, and it's like having some kind of a scaffolding on my chest.
This is post-breast cancer operation surgery.
Yeah, reconstruction. Yeah. My implant surgery will be August the 2nd. Until then, I've got these expanders under my chest wall. Against my chest wall, under my skin, and we're stretching my skin with injections periodically.
And she had my wife feel one of them.
What? Sarah said she wanted to.
I know. It was pretty exciting for me. And Sarah was like, oh my gosh, that's as hard as rocks.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. So we were standing in Jared's kitchen, and I said, do you want to feel? And Sarah said, yeah. And so she put her hand up. It was like, wow. Yeah. Like you could knock on it. Almost.
Yeah, I know. That was neat.
So what was that like for you to see your wife feeling?
I'm trying to be medical and civil. It was something that I'm sure two women needed to share in what would be a very traumatic time for you and a curious curiosity for my wife. I liked it a lot. It was great.
You know, I tell you what, I have never checked out so many women's breasts before because I don't know what mine are going to look like when we're finished. I don't know how big we're going to be.
Wow.
And I am constantly staring at women's chests.
Well, I like it. You mentioned it in front of John, your husband, the other day, and he kind of like, you know, just kept eating like he wasn't, you know, thinking too much about it. But you know that guy is like, lottery.
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, he has not seen me without my clothes on since all this has happened. He does not know what this looks like without.
What's it, what, a year? How long
it will be a year in August.
Should you even be telling me this?
Why?
I don't know. Your husband hasn't seen you naked in a year?
No, he has not. He
is
has
something
not,
that just happens at
He has not
age?
Seen this, where I'm touching myself now.
And is it like a reality show unveiling? Here, you know, like a big surprise.
I guess it will be. I don't know. But I was in the plastic surgeon's office the other day, and he said, I know you're a good patient, but you're not these cat kneading exercises where I have to push on myself like a cat would, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, you're not there. It's not cutting it. We need the skin to be a little more supple. Uh-huh. And he said, is there anyone who can help you with these exercises? And I said, no.
Are you kidding me?
And what? He looked at me like, what?
You know me quite well. You're not giving the green light to your hubby?
John has not expressed any interest in seeing or feeling what these are all about. Because these aren't
okay
me yet. Yes, everything's fine.
I know they're not you yet, but at least over a shirt or something, any guy would just like to rub some boobs.
Really?
Well, I hope I haven't been denying
what is my husband's right or something,
I don't know if it's a right, but at least he should be first in line.
Anyway,
he should get notification that he could help you.
My physical...
This is medical.
My physical therapist will be doing it. Brianna will be doing this.
Brianna, thank you. Wow, don't tell me what she looks like. I got it in my head.
She's really pretty.
Yes. Okay, that's good. But I can't...
She kind of looks like a young Elizabeth Perkins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, good word, Perkins. But last night when you guys were leaving...
This film reel in my head is so loud.
We had the Ewies over for dinner last night, and as they were leaving, we're standing on our porch, and I'm leaning up against John, and I press this left one into his side, and he goes...
Do you think you have a gun?
He goes, I can feel that. Yeah! She stuck a pair of 38s in his back. And he goes, oh my gosh, that's hard. And I said, I know.
That must be neat for him to say that, I guess.
Yes. So, anyway.
Well, to me, that's just strange. You got a built-in masseuse in the house, and
I'll tell you what's strange, is for breast cancer to take away the two most feminine things about a woman. The breasts
one and, two? Oh,
and the okay. hair.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, with the chemo. And so that was kind of strange. And now I've got this hairdo that, you know, looks like I'm Annie Lennox or I'm trying to be some kind of handsome woman, you know, but but it'll grow in and it's fine. I really learned that none of that really matters.
Well, that's something, I guess that is a good question then. I mean, your femininity assaulted. Do you struggle? You're like, I mean, it's got to be some like, you know, want to punch the mirror moments or something. You've looked fabulous in, through this whole thing.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you.
Yeah. But.
Well, the thing is, when you start thinking that way, then you get down on yourself for thinking that way because that's vain. And then you get down on yourself and you say, well, what really matters is not how I look. What matters is the cancer's gone.
The word vanity you'd think would be applied to some higher level of narcissism. But when, you know, you lose your breasts and your hair, I'm not sure if wanting those back is called vanity. I think
you're just really down on yourself when you're going through this stuff. You're not thinking clearly.
Yeah.
You know, think of the Drano that's been coursing through your body and all those things. So you stand there and you just kind of talk yourself off the cliffs, you know, as you can. So anyway.
Well, that what you said right there should be a nice little dropper o perspective for anyone who's not dealing with this and might be struggling with something that's much lesser than cancer. I mean, it is for me, you know, because I'm like, oh my gosh, what? I have no clean socks. I'm so sad, you know. And I mean,
Jared does this all the time. He will rail against something on the phone to me and then say, I am so sorry. I've got to apologize because here you are going through cancer treatment. I'm like, it's okay. I don't look at it that way.
All right. That's good. It's impressive.
Yeah. I could write a book about what not to say to someone who's going through it.
Well, let's give me some of those things.
Because I don't know what to say, but I can tell you what has made me bristle. And it is that. That's one thing. It's like, oh, here I am whining, and you've been dealing with cancer. And I know that you mean really well, but yeah, that's another thing. And, it's like, oh, I've got chemo brain. I can't remember anything. Oh, well, then I've got it too because, you know, I can't remember anything either. Don't dismiss what I'm going through.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And so, you're making me say these things.
This is good. Get it out. Get it out. I'm rubbing your back. I'm like holding you over the toilet after a long night. Here we go. Get it out.
Don't say, call me if you need anything, because I'm not going to do it.
That's right.
And if you call me and ask me, would you like something? I just might say, yeah, bring me a milkshake or something. And I've done that.
That's what a nurse told me. I was so livid when my mom had gone through her 54th surgery, and we were, I mean, mired in money difficulties and all this stuff, and all her friends had just evaporated. And I asked a nurse, said, is there anything I can help you with? And finally, I was to the point where I usually don't admit these things, but I was like, yeah, I don't know what to do. Like, everybody's just disappeared. And my mother, who never revealed anything of that sort, any type of emotional challenge, did tell me. She's like, I'm so lonely. I don't know what happened to my friends. So I like asked this nurse, and she said, you need to write them and tell them exactly what you need.
I hope you did.
Well, no, I got really drunk and paid a guy $40 to use his cell phone all night long at a bar called A-Raps up here in Englewood. And I called all these people in the middle of the night up in our hometown.
You called your mother's friends.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know what you've been doing. But then by the time I was on the phone, I was a lot nicer. And I actually woke up the sheriff, who was married to one of her friends. And he's like, what can I do for you, Jared? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what I can do. I was like, why can't you just come down and take her to a movie or something, you know? And it wasn't like I wanted the time off. It was I just wanted her to feel human again, you know?
And feel like she was loved and appreciated by her friends.
Yeah.
And that they cared for her.
Right, right. So so just back to the point of it is you just have to be very clear with what people can do for you. And if you're someone who might ask that annoying question, can I do something for you? You should just probably just go ahead and do it without asking. Would that be correct?
Yeah. And also, here's another thing. Don't tell a cancer patient that they need to be juicing carrots instead of going through chemo.
Yeah.
Because I felt like, you know, no, I'm gonna pull out the big guns. I'm not going to try juicing carrots for a few months and see if that works. I'm not going to give this any more time to travel anywhere through my body.
Yeah.
Now I have this old lady friend who is angry at me because I didn't try to just juice carrots and drink carrot juice. And so she wants me to call her. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to call her.
And
because I know she's going to yell at me for not juicing carrots. That's ridiculous.
So juicing carrots beats cancer.
In her mind.
Yeah.
In her mind.
You know, I tell you, I got those books still, and I mean...
Of course, then you
got
to drink it.
Right, I was going to say, if that's what it takes, then great. I would love to see that some of that works. I don't know. I don't know if it does.
I got a doc who calls that snake oil salesman,
right.
You know, that everybody comes out of the woodwork and tells you how you ought to be treating your cancer.
Yeah.
You know, don't diss my doctor.
Yeah, or your plans, which are very big plans. I mean... I can't even decide what I'm going to do for dinner. I mean, once you have cancer, you have to come up with a long-term thing, a plan, a huge, weighty shadow over your life, right, to what you're going to do. I mean,
what you're going to do about the cancer?
What you're going to do about it, yeah. I mean, so you know, you have this whole treatment lined up and all that.
Yeah, but it's pretty much you find a doctor you trust and you just listen to him. Isn't that what happened with you and your mom?
No. No, well, we had all kinds of doctor issues, and we finally brought out the machete and hacked away at the bad ones and found some decent ones.
I'm sorry you had that experience. I haven't had that yet.
I mean, they were pretty good, but yeah, there was a few that were just... didn't know what the heck they were doing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing in the beginning. If I had any advice, there's a good chance you might know more than they do. And I think a lot of people about yourself and what will work. And like my mom was really sick and getting seizures all the time, and they were over-medicating her. And so I just pulled the meds and pulled back on it, and she was fine. They were giving her too much anti-seizure medication, and she was having seizures.
Oh my goodness!
You know, yeah.
So you did know what to do.
I knew. Well, yeah, we've done it so long, but I think a lot of people doubt themselves when they have an inclination.
Yeah,
I'm not saying run on it on your, be a Google doctor and run on it on your own, but you should definitely bring it up, and you should, I think, challenge your doctor with questions and ideas.
Yes. And I think they do a pretty good job of explaining to you what's going to happen. It's just that there's so much information coming in that you don't always remember. And then when you start going through some of this stuff, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, like radiation can give you cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I kind of missed.
Well, see, I think that's where my mom's cancer turned. They decided to do some extra radiation treatments on her. And the theory I got from one of the best doctors we had, was that mutated more cells and it became more aggressive. That's what his theory was.
It can,
you know, so, and that, but it, you know, and that's what we, I mean, it changed the whole game from these very benign meningiomas to these just rampant monsters.
I had no idea that happened.
Yeah.
But I opted for it because I felt like, you know, the doctors were encouraging me to do it, and it was totally, everything's totally my decision. Mm-hmm. And I opted for the radiation because I felt like what the good it was going to do would outweigh anything that would be bad in my situation. So
it seems to me.
So yeah, there are certain things that people have no idea what to do or say. And then there are people who just don't do anything, like your mother's friends, mm-hmm. because they don't know what to do.
Right.
And then some people are afraid they can catch cancer. If they hang around somebody who's got it, they're going to get it.
And
that's
the person you shouldn't have as your friend.
No. Right?
The cancer has done you a favor by severing that relationship. I know. I've heard that. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
It's fun to like just play with those people. Like, oh gosh, you know what? You're right. Because my sister caught a case of lesbianism. So there's a lot of things.
Your sister's a lesbian.
No, she'd kill me. But I'm just saying.
Those
same people that would think that would happen, you know.
Now you've done it.
Well, there, Jermaine got himself a case of the gays and moved himself to San Francisco, you know.
No, it's just that there's no judgment. There's no judgment for as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Now, you talk to John, he's got a list of step-up people.
Yeah.
And he claims that that's a positive thing because he doesn't have the list of the people who are not step-up people.
No, but that's his job as the caretaker. You become a kind of a pit bull about that stuff, you know. And you're in the middle of the hurricane swirling around and all this stuff going on, and you have to deal with yourself, and you have to have that positive attitude, and you can't invite that negativity of judgment and all that such. But on the outside, that's what John's doing with his arms folded, because he's not using his hands to massage anything, but arms folded like a bouncer outside of your club.
Yeah, well, regarding that, John is free to massage whatever he wants after all of this is over.
John, ding!
So it'll be probably September, October.
Okay, well, very exciting.
In case you're keeping score.
We won't see either of you for a little bit, I hope. So, we have one more minute, and that was, I think, was a much better than the last one we tried. And redid.
What do you mean, the last 15-minute radio show that
we
erased?
We tried one and when we deleted it, yeah, because we were all over the place.
We were saying bad words.
Oh my gosh. That's what she says.
Jared was saying bad words.
Yeah.
Okay, so pimp our other stuff. And
well, we have jaredandjoe.com, and Joe and myself have been in radio a long time. Joe has been exponentially more successful than myself, although I might add that I've had more of a breadth, I guess, across of the radio spectrum.
Yes, you have.
But we're very good at cutting spots and quickly. So we're cutting spots, we're consulting stations. There's a lot of these stations and these, you know, they're worried about Twitter and online media and, you know, how, where are they going to fit in?
And we're consulting individuals as well. Individuals, if, you know, with air check.
If you're a DJ or a wannabe DJ, you can send us your air check, and we will not belittle you to your face. So we can offer some suggestions.
And we write commercials as well. Yeah, and we have a very quick turnaround.
That's
if you
thing.
Want something recorded by noon and it's 10 o'clock, we can do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Finish juicing our carrots. We'll get right on. No, but it's fast. I mean, that's actually a challenge thing I used to do to people. It was a joke at first how the salespeople would come to me as copywriter and or production guy, and the piece of paper would say, they sell flowers, be creative. You know? and so then, just because they did that so much, if you just give me, we could do this on the next podcast because we're over, but you could just give me a name of a business, and I could do a 30-second or a 60-second spot just off the top of my head.
Okay.
And nail it on time, too.
We'll do that next time.
That's coming up next time.
Thanks for listening.